How doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us, by his word and spirit, the will of God for our salvation.
We now turn our attention to addressing each of these offices of Christ one by one. So the next catechism question is dealing specifically with Christ's work as our prophet. You'll remember by way of review that the word Christ means the anointed one, and one of the ways that he was anointed was as our prophet in order to bring about our salvation. So we said last time that a prophet is a person or an office, I should say, that goes from God to man and is addressing our ignorance. And so specifically, you can think of the prophet as revealing something, right? Revealing. This is a pretty important word. It comes from the word revelation, a revelation that God gives us. And that refers to unveiling. Something is unveiled. So you think of an artist, and they've made this wonderful painting, and they've spent a year, putting this painting together, and the day comes when everyone's going to get to see the painting, and they all show up, and they get in their seats, and you look at the front of the auditorium, and there's an easel, obviously, with a framed picture and a sheet over it. And they say, well, now's the moment. We're going to unveil the painting. And they rip the sheet off, and everyone can look at the painting. That's the concept here. God is coming to us through Christ our prophet to reveal things to us. So I said last time that a prophet was not just someone who foretold the future. Right, you think of a prophet and you think, well, they tell you these are prophecies. These are things that are going to happen in the future. And they did do that. That was part of what God was revealing. That was part of his word that he brought to his people. But more importantly, the prophets came to give God's word. A lot of the revelation they brought was applying God's law, preaching the Bible to the people in the midst of their sin and circumstances. One of the roles of the prophet was to bring scripture to God's people. So, our Bibles have these books, the books of the prophets. It's part of the Bible. That was one of the purposes of the prophets, was to bring the revelation of God's word to his people. And it's kept for us to read. It's perfect. It's inspired. It's the word of God. Other connections as well. One of the purposes of the prophets was not only to reveal portions of scripture like the book of Isaiah and so on, but prophets were responsible for providing God's people with what they would sing to him in worship. So one of the criteria, one of the requirements for songs that would be sung in the Old Testament was that they were given from God to his people through a prophet. Right? That was a criteria for the content of what they would sing. It had to come from a prophet. And as we come into the New Testament, we see in the days of the apostles that this office of prophet continues for a space until the completion of the Bible. So once the Bible is complete, then the office of prophet is no longer needed. It's set aside, as was, for example, the office of apostle. And so the prophet's role is to come and to reveal things to us. And we can ask a couple questions about this. What is it that they were to reveal? Well, in short, the will of God. They were to reveal the will of God, what we call the revealed, right? The revealed will of God, in contrast to his decreed will, the secret things that we can't see. The second question is, how? How did he do this? And it is by His Word and Spirit. Third thing, the question is why? Why would God do this? And the answer is, as you will anticipate, for our salvation. For our salvation, in the fullest sense. So this is what Christ ultimately fulfills as our prophet. Christ is the one that Moses refers to. Moses is the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, and in Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, he says, God is going to send you another prophet, and he will excel all others. And as you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, we see that God spoke it in diverse and sundry ways in times past through the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Right? So the prophets were in the past, now by the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who is the messenger of the covenant, the true and faithful witness, as God refers to him. And so he comes to reveal to us, or to make known to us, the will of God. Jesus says this himself in John 15, where he tells his disciples that he has come to reveal to them the will of God. Now, in addressing, so that's really answering this question of what more fully. In answering more fully the question how it is that Christ reveals to us the will of God, we said that it is by his Word and Spirit. The Word refers to something outward. The Spirit refers to something inward, if you will. These two things work together. The Spirit and the Word demonstrate the power of God. Both of them bring to us the power of God. And in the Bible, it's essential that we understand that the Word and the Spirit always go together. And they must always go together. So if you have the Word without the Spirit, you can end up in all sorts of problems, rationalism and so on. If you have the Spirit and say, well, we need the Spirit but not the Word, you end up in mysticism, charismatic movement, and so on and so forth. But it's always together. God's Spirit works through the Word, by the Word, with the Word. And these two go together. So when we say by the Spirit, you can look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 to 14, or John 14, 26. The Spirit is the one, of course, who inspires the Bible. We know that much. We covered that early on in the Catechism. But the Spirit is also the one who gives to the believer faith. And the Spirit is the one who also works to illuminate our minds. And so the Lord enables us to not just hear the Word of Christ in the Scriptures through our ear, right? People preach and people read the Scripture, but we're actually able to receive that Word, to mix our hearing with faith in order to profit from it, in order to benefit from it. We receive it by faith. Because the Word, when it is preached, is both simultaneously a savor of life unto life and a savor of death unto death. Right? The Word, when it is brought to us in reading and preaching or whatever else, accomplishes both those things. It brings death to those who don't believe, and it brings blessing, life, to those who do believe by God's grace. And so here the Spirit is at work, opening our understanding, giving us light, enabling us to understand what the Bible says, to see the glory, the implications, the application, the glory of Christ in it, and so on. So that's what we mean by the Spirit. By the Word, we're talking about the primacy of Scripture. So the Bible is the means and the method that God has appointed. Christ comes as our prophet through the Word. That's the means he's appointed. That's the method he's appointed. So in the Gospel of John, when it speaks about the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him, where do they hear it? Do they hear some noise, coming from the sky? No. God's people, who are the sheep, discern the voice of the shepherd, Christ, in the ministry of the Word, through the Word itself. So Christ is exercising his prophetic ministry there. Even in preaching, when we sit under the preaching of God's Word, Christ is coming to us as our prophet. Christ is coming to us, and that prophetic office is being executed in the preaching of the Word. So that through the Word and the Spirit, in the appointed ordinance of preaching, the Lord is revealing to us the will of God. Right? So all of the trends that we see to move away from the centrality of the Word, people moving away from preaching, so they don't have preaching twice in the Lord's Day, they only have it once. They don't have preaching at all in the midweek prayer meeting. You know, preaching is being pushed to the sidelines. And what's being put in its place? Well, programs. So there's all sorts of programs. Programs for children, programs for young people, programs for retired people. There's all sorts of programs that are being promoted instead. That's a move away from the Bible. It's a move away from, it's saying we don't need the prophetic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The idea of showing movies to the congregation rather than reading and preaching God's Word, for that matter, singing God's Word in the Psalms, is a move in the direction of Rome. Right? So Rome gives a very tiny place to the Word, and instead they have all of this stuff. They have all of the, you know, the beautiful garments and the incense, and they have all of the elaborate liturgy that goes with it, and the Mass, and the centrality of the Mass to their service, and choirs and orchestras and whatever else. Right? It's very visual. It's very engaging the senses and so on. And so when we, you know, things like showing movies is a move away from biblical practice in the direction of Rome in many ways. And so for the Christian, we see the primacy of Scripture. We prize it. We say, this is more precious to me than gold and silver and precious stones. We hide it in our hearts, Psalm 119 says, in order that we might not sin against him. We want to know it. We want to understand it. We want to have... You can spend your whole life studying one book of the Bible in detail and never exhaust its depths. And what is the purpose? Why? Why is Christ serving as our great prophet? The purpose is our salvation. These things have been revealed to us in order that, by God's grace, we might believe them, receive them, and thereby benefit from the salvation God has applied, has provided for us. So if you look at John 20, end of the Gospel of John, verse 31, that point is underlined. And so, among other things, we want to ensure that there is no departure from the Word in worship. But we also want to be sure that we're praying for the Spirit's work through that Word. Christ is coming to us as our prophet to serve us to the end, for the purpose of our salvation. Not only coming to faith initially in Christ, but being built up in our growth in grace and in our likeness to the Lord Jesus. He's coming as our prophet through the Word and the Spirit. So we need to prize the Word, but we also need to be praying that God would send His Spirit to work powerfully by and with and in the Word to make it fruitful, that sinners would be converted under the Word, and we would see the power of God unto salvation, that God's people would be sanctified, that sin would be killed, and that they would grow in likeness to Jesus, that the Spirit would bless the preaching of the Word and make it abundantly fruitful to God's glory. So here we see that the Anointed One serves us as a prophet, revealing to us the will of God by the Word and Spirit in order to bring about the salvation of His people. So the way that the Catechism encapsulates this is, how doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? Christ executeth the office of a prophet in revealing to us, by His Word and Spirit, the will of God for our salvation.